Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I greet you in that name which is above every name, the wonderful name of Jesus. And with the Lord's help, we're going to continue and conclude a brief message I'm sharing on the mark of the Lord. And as we begin, I would like to refer to Ezekiel, the 9th chapter, reading verses 4 and 6. And the Lord said unto him, Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. Verse 6, Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house. What we see here in verse 2, there was a man dressed as a scribe with a writer's inkhorn and was distinguished from the six who had slaughter weapons, if you will, in their hands, one for each of Jerusalem's principal gates. The man with the inkhorn was not one of the six, but he was with them, indicating that the judgment that was coming upon Jerusalem was yet still mixed with mercy. They had a commission that was to cleanse the temple and execute judgment. And in context, we see what was occurring at this time in Israel. The priests and elders of Israel had polluted the temple of God by introducing pagan rituals and sensual Baal worship practice. Only those marked were spared. The vision reveals that Judah, like Israel, was rejected, and the glory departs from the temple, which was soon to be destroyed by the Chaldean army. The remnant were marked and were spared to return to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. Remember, that was the word that Jeremiah received. They were to obey, and they were to be living in exile in Babylon for 70 years, but a remnant would return and rebuild the temple. Now, what's the spiritual application for us? It says that these men sighed, and there's no male or female in Christ. They sighed because of the abominations. They were grieving in themselves as men in distress, and they cried out to God in prayer. What is this a picture of? It's a picture of the intercessor. Beloved, it's the calling to which every one of us have been called. We may not have a specific ministry as an intercessor. Those are very special people set aside by God to stand in the gap, to be His watchman on the wall. But every one of us, beloved, are called upon to pray, to join our hearts in agreement with those who are grieving and sighing in themselves as men in distress, and cry out to God for His mercy, for revival, that men will change their hearts. That scripture I read says, put a mark. That Hebrew word is the tau, T-A-U. It's the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And then it was written in the form of a cross. As then, beloved, the guilt of our present generation is exceedingly great. This great, wonderful nation that was founded under God. And there are those that say, well, don't you know our forefathers, they were all into masonry and things like that. Nonetheless, our initial beginnings began in prayer. There may have been some that in ignorance or even in willful, deliberate choice delved into the occult, but the fact of the matter is, as we look at our history, as we read the documents, there can be no counter argument that even much of the very Constitution was based on scriptural principles and on the preaching of the great men of those days. And so, beloved, we have, as a nation, great guilt upon us. People are wondering, all the changes in the weather patterns. Beloved, let's not say it's global warming. Come, it is the judgment of God upon a nation who has turned from God. Just as God dealt with ancient Israel, He is dealing with us today. And if you will, for those of you who are familiar, I won't go into it, there are harbingers of the very same patterns and ways in which God dealt with Israel, He is now dealing with America. And it is done in the mercy and love of God that we can turn and repent from the wickedness that this generation has walked in. There are so many abominations committed in this land, beloved. Just as in that time, that ancient land, and in that city, there was great idolatry in the temple. These were God's chosen people. America was chosen of God, and in our history, we have done much to propagate the gospel. Missionaries, countless missionaries have been sent out from this land to preach the gospel in all the nations of the earth. Beloved, let's return now to what the point I'm sharing in these couple days of ministry, and that is the mark of the Lord. This mark that God puts on His chosen people has relation to one thing only: character, beloved. We, by choice and by an effort and determination of our will, have to identify. That is, we take the mark, right, a sign of possession, identification, with the righteous judge of the whole earth and His concerns. The work of grace is a mark on the forehead. What were these men doing? They were sighing. That was their activity. They were crying. And that means to sigh, to take a deep, audible breath, as in weariness or grief. And of course, what does that, the very physical sound, that's a symbol of the breath and wind of the Holy Spirit, not only a way of expressing emotion. We look in the Word of God in 2 Kings, there's a reference to chapter 22, verses 19 through 20, and this references the godly king of Judah, Josiah, at the time. And the prophetess Huldah said, "Because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and has rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord." That prophetess Huldah goes on to say to this godly king, thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace. And she said his eyes would not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. So, beloved, if we will rend our clothes, if you will, not maybe literally, but in the spirit, if we will weep between the porch and the altar, we will be spared the evil which God will bring upon this place. Will we stop judgment? No, because God's word will be fulfilled. But we can pray for people, for nations to turn to God before it's everlastingly too late. Psalm 119 and 53, the psalmist pens, "Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law." Another passage in that same psalm, verse 136, declares, "Rivers of water run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law." And the prophet Jeremiah warns the proud in the 13th chapter, verse 17, "But if you will not hear it, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride, and mine eyes shall weep sore and run down with tears because the Lord's flock is carried away captive." My, what sadness, what sorrow Jeremiah must have experienced, and all those who are godly today. I don't know about you, but our hearts are grieved when we look at what has happened in our nation, how the youth have become rebellious and lacking respect for authority, and how the name of Christ is ridiculed, and all manner of political correctness is the order of the day, which renounces common sense and logic. However, beloved, God is yet still in control. And we need to trust the Lord. We need to pray as never before and do all that we can to obey the Lord in our own personal lives because He has a plan for each one of us. 2 Peter, the second chapter, and I'd like to read verses 4, beginning at verse 4, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, my dear brothers and sisters, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scriptures, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which are be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Beloved, there are multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. God's people, I fully believe, will not experience the wrath of the judgments of God. We may experience tribulation, but not destruction. Beloved, the day we're living in, those who continue to have breath in their bodies, every person on the face of the earth are going to have to choose a mark. It will either be the mark of the Lord or the mark of the beast. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you for the beauty of your word. I thank you, Lord, that you are true. The just judge of the whole earth shall do right. And Lord, for those who harden their necks and their foreheads against you, a time of judgment is coming. But Lord, those who are repentant, those who call out to you, those who cry aloud to you for the sin and wickedness in the land, Father, you said you would mark with your seal. And so, Father, we thank you for the mark of the Lord upon our lives. Lord, you willingly give it to whomsoever will, they may come and drink freely of the waters of life. Father, thank you for your protection. Father, help us, Lord, in the days and weeks ahead to do all that we can to redeem the time, to work without ceasing, that we might see your kingdom come and the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. I love you. I must close. And until next time, this is Sister Glass. May God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606. Or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.